Amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, we lift up your name right now, God. We want to tell you thank you, God. Thank you, God, for life this morning, God, health and strength. Thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy, God. Thank you for taking us all through the week, God, watching over us, protecting us, God, bringing us back to the house of prayer safe, God. And we just give you glory right now. Look on all of us while we're here, God. Keep us holy in every way, God. Keep us with the mind stayed on you, that we might have that perfect peace that you have to offer us, God. Now, that's the world offer, but your peace, God, which passes all understanding. Bless all those that are on their way, God. Prepare us, God, to receive all of you today, God. This is the place where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Make us ready, God, to receive, God, to digest your word, to digest the food that you give us today, God, not to vomit none of it up, God, but let your word just soak in our hearts and our mind, God, that we may continue, God, to be the holy people that you are calling us to do, God. Let everything that we do and say in this rehearsal right now, God, be pleasing unto you. If it's not pleasing, God, help us to focus, think of what we're about to say, God. And if it's not pleasing to you, God, help us to hold our peace, God. And Father God, you will fight our battle. We thank and we praise you, God. Anoint the musician right now, God. Anoint his hand and his feet, God. Bless the drummer that he's on the way. Bless the multimedia, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Keep them focused, God, with their hearts and their minds on you, God. Even if a mistake happened, God, don't let them give up, God, but keep rolling, God, in the name of Jesus. Keep moving, God. You work things out. Work things out with the singers this morning, God. Anoint our voices, God, our minds, our thoughts, God. Anything that's going on that might hinder us or stop us, God, or slow us down, God, we cast it upon you right now, God. And help us to focus why we are here and who we are here for, who we are and whose we belong to. In Jesus' name we pray. We bless you right now, God. We thank you for the mighty work that you are going to do in us and through us, God. You already here, God. We don't ask you to show up because you are already here, God, in us, God. And we thank and we praise you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are my strength, strength like no other,
yes.
Strength like no other, reaches to me.
Thank you, God.
You are my strength, strength like no other, strength like no other, reaches to me. You are my strength.
You are my strength.
Yes, you are.
Strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me.
In the fullness
of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up.
Yes, you do.
You lift me up
in the fullness
of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up.
Thank you, God.
You lift me up.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace.
Grace
like no other. Grace like no other.
You
reaches to me.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. Grace like precious to me.
In the fullness of your grace,
in the power of your name,
you lift me up.
You lift me up.
In the fullness
of your grace,
in the power
lift me up.
You lift me up.
You are my peace.
Oh, yeah.
Peace like no other. Peace like no other.
You
reaches to me. You are my peace, peace like no other, peace like no other, reaches to me, amazing grace,
I'm sorry,
are my peace,
yeah.
Peace like no other.
Thank you, God.
Peace like no other. Reaches to me.
Amen. Thank you, God. The other song, Jesus, Jesus, look like that. Okay, because I see rides go around and do cause a lot of if I change up, I could do it. Precious Lord, none only you. Yeah.
We need some words out of Otis. Out of Otis. Out of Otis.
Out of Otis. We need some words. Thank you.
And magnify him for what he's allowing, amen, in our lives and what he's doing in our lives. Amen. We just want to continue to praise him and give him all that he is due. Tell somebody next to you, I'm glad to see you this morning. Now ask him, now I want you to ask him this question. Are you glad to see me? All right. I hope y'all glad to see me. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because it's good to be seen. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Come on now. I mean, it's a good, you know, what did David say? What? I was glad. Come on now. I was glad when they said unto me. We talked about that on last week. Ain't that right? Why church? Amen. Sometimes we need church to remind us of who we're supposed to be. Right? Remind us that God is greater than we are. Hallelujah. So we thank him, amen, just for an opportunity to be here again this morning, doing the work and lifting up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Seeing all the beautiful smiling faces, amen, in the house. Hallelujah. We just give you praise right now, amen. And we're going to move on. We get ready to receive our offering on this morning. Amen. Y'all ready to give? Y'all ready to be a blessing? Let me see your hand if you're blessed. Come on now. Amen. And see, that's all of us, amen. So I believe we blessed to what? Be a blessing, amen. We don't be like the Dead Sea, just let it all come in and nothing goes out. That's why they call it dead. And can't nothing really live there. Minister David.
Praise of adoration of thanksgiving. Our pure focus moves God. It pleases God when our mind is on him and our heart is on him and our song rests on him. Come on. We're not trying to please anybody else. We're not trying to excite anybody else, but we're here to please the Lord. Lord, what moves you? Have you asked God this morning? Are we just here? Have you asked God, what moves you? God, what from me would move you this morning, oh God? What can I do that moves your heart? And God would say that your heart would be pure before me, that you would worship me in spirit and in truth, and that your mind would be on me. Come on him. Amen. Can you know, in a relationship with a husband and a wife, I mean, if you ask your wife what moves you, is that your heart would be on her, that your attention wouldn't be all over the place. And sometimes when we come into the house of the Lord, there's so many distractions that's going on in our head, going on around us, that we're just plain tired. And so we're tired and we give God some kind of half praise. But I'm just saying right now, just move God with a praise to God. I just thank you, because if it had not been for you on my side, I wouldn't be standing here right now. If you didn't wake me up this morning and give me the activities of my limbs, I wouldn't be here right now. My focus is on you, God. My attention is on you. My thanksgiving is all about you, God, all about you. I'm not ashamed, God. I'm not ashamed to shake myself, God, and remind myself that it's because of you that I live and breathe and have my being. It's because of you. And so, Father, we thank you this morning as we come right now, preparing our hearts, our ears, our minds ready for your word, oh God. And Father God, we say, God, we want to move you, God, to pleasure, God, move you, God, that your children, God, are focused and attentive to your word, oh God. Oh God, without your word, how can we live? How can we have victory? How can we go on? And so God, right now in the name of Jesus, we bless you, God, with our attention, with our heart attention. Our ears are ready to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, oh God. And God, then our hearts is ready to apply in obedience what you have told us to do. Oh God, that's what really moves you, is our obedience. And so we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Our children are dismissed this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for our praise and worship team. And thank you guys for leading us in worship. And thank you guys for getting that song, Miss Amanda. And we got you guys, y'all look that song up and get that song, okay? It's a lot of the songs. I was thinking that we'll put them in our group me so you guys can start knowing the songs too when you come on Sunday morning, so they could be in your spirit, you know, because sometimes a new song, we're kind of like trying to get the words. But once we get the words and we see what that means, then we can sing it to the glory of God. And so I love that song, Tell Me What Moves You. And so just thanking God for our worship team, because, you know, I was thinking a lot of times we don't realize that our worship team puts in a lot of work, you know. They're here during the week, and they have practice. So sometimes we don't have to come back during the week, but they got to come back to the week during the week, get the songs. Got to pray about the songs, got to sing those songs, come together, you guys. And as they come, you know, let's pray. As we get up on Sunday morning, let's pray for our worship team, because they're leading us. And so we want God's anointing to steady more flow through them, right? As I was in prayer this morning, God had already given me the theme, but as I was in prayer this morning, I could hear the Holy Spirit as we was praying as the leaders, and I could hear this loud cry saying, Kingdom citizens represent. But I could hear really, really loud, you know, like, Kingdom citizens represent. And I could just hear it. And I thought, you know, as I was in prayer, you know, if I say that to you guys, what does that mean to you? Like, if I say, Kingdom citizens represent. Represent you. And what I saw, I love how, thank you, Jessica, I loved how we all just kind of looked, because you're going to see what I'm talking about. Usually in some kind of army or war or, you know, military, when they say represent, we're doing something, right? We don't just look lost. We don't look bored. We don't look like, huh? We don't look defeated. There comes on us a power of authority, a call out that you're calling to the kingdom to stand forth, to stand up, to stand out. Usually that's what it means. And so as I was hearing it in prayer, it was the same thing in prayer. I was like, so what you want us to do, Lord? You know, kind of like, so what you want us to do? What do you want me to do? And He said that is what we're going to be talking about today, because the church of God, there's a God call in this season of time for the kingdom citizens to represent. And as a whole, the church is doing almost like a deer in headlights. Like, well, what you mean, Lord? What? What do you want us to do? Huh? And God wants us to know that we should be doing something in this season that represents the kingdom of God. We're talking about the kingdom. We're getting clarity about the kingdom, right? And as the God is doing that, so that we will have full understanding of what we're called to, so that we can truly, if you don't know what you're called to, you can't truly represent, right? If you don't know the power or the authority of it, you can't walk in it. You can't truly represent it. You're still kind of looking all over it like, what? What does that mean? I remember that when Apostle left to go into the military, he left one way, and like I told you, he came back another way. He left, and I want to say this, he left more as my teenage husband, teenage boyfriend left. But when he came and knocked on the door, I was in shock of this man that was standing at the door, okay? He left, you know, in the way that we grew up as teenagers, dressed like that, hair like that, you know, how we looked as teenagers. But when he came back and he knocked on the door and he came home and I went to the door, I was like, who is this man? But that was a man that was standing, total uniform, total, you know, authority. He looked like a new authority rest on him, a whole difference when he came back to the door. And we should look like that because most of us are not babies in the Lord. We shouldn't be looking like teenage thugs in Christ. It's time we should be look like, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we should be looking like men and women of God that has the authority of God resting upon our life. And when God says kingdom citizens represent, he's not calling children forth. He's calling men and women of God forth. And the authority should go out before us. And everyone should go, whoa, there's something different about them, the person that I used to be, the Linda that I used to be. People should say, wait a minute, there's something different about her. There's something different about the people of God that have grown in the word of God and in the kingdom authority of God. And so when we say kingdom citizens represent, God is not calling just children forth. He is calling the citizens of his kingdom that are walking in his authority forth to represent. And I was thinking this morning as I had all my notes down, and then I get in the chair, and then God says, there's a difference between presenting and representing. Okay? Because sometimes the church is just presenting. And presenting means anything I want to give you. I present any way I feel like it. I just present. Take it or leave it. This is me. Okay? Represent is a whole other thing because you are representing somebody. You are standing on the behalf. You're of somebody else, not just yourself. And so sometimes as the church, we are still saying to the world that just this is me. Do me. This is me. This is how I present. Take it as it is. But God wants us to know that as kingdom citizens, we are no longer representing ourselves. We are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wants us to represent him appropriately, right? He wants us to represent him in the way that he should be represented, not in the way I feel or the things that I think are in my own opinions. I need to represent him according to the kingdom, his kingdom. And it says this, we're going to live, my theme is kingdom mission, getting mission minded, okay? Is kingdom mission minded and not worldly mission minded. In Matthew 24 and 14, we've been talking about the kingdom, talking about, and all over the land we see people that are looking at the signs and the signs of Jesus coming back, signs of Jesus coming, even the world is talking about, you know, different signs of Jesus coming back. If I look at the news, but God wants us to know something. In Matthew 24 and 14, I want us to know that the responsibility, God's going to do what God's going to do. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. The nature is going to do what nature is going to do. But is God's people going to do what God's people is called to do? We have a responsibility in the Lord coming back. It says this in Matthew 24 and 14. And this good news of the kingdom, and we've heard this in Bible study, and this good news of the kingdom, the gospel, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then, and everybody says, and then. Yeah. Say it again, and then. And then will come the end. And then will come the end. And then will come the end. I want us to understand that. We look at the wars and rumors of wars. We look at earthquake. We get our mind on all the signs that has no responsibility on us. Isn't it funny how it has no bearing on our part? Isn't it funny how as people, we always want something done, but we want it done outside of ourselves without any responsibility on our part? It's something about this flesh that we want things to happen, but we don't want to do the work. Well, I want to remind you that in this is the work is on us. The responsibility is on us. Nature's going to do. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to do those things, right? There are rumors of what man's going to do. But what about the church? And in the church is supposed to do what? It's supposed to preach throughout the whole world the kingdom of God. In the Greek, and I want us to get this because a lot of times we are great delegators. As people, when it comes to work, we like to delegate the work to somebody else. So as God's Christians, we sit around sometimes and we go, the missionaries will do that. Oh, the missionaries over and send them to Africa, send them to Bahrain. Oh, they're doing it. Oh man, Jesus is coming because over in Bahrain ran the simulcast is going all over the world. So we want to delegate it out. But let me tell you something. The Greek word ethnos, which means nations, it refers to every people, group, every culture, every race, every tribe, every tongue, every political system, and every national state. It's saying after the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all of these, then the end will come. It is we, the believers, and the followers of Christ, all the citizens of God's kingdom that bear the responsibility of proclaiming the gospel to the world. Sometimes it's over there. We have so much distractions going on right now, so much speculations about when God is coming versus proclaiming who God is. Who the kingdom is, more speculation than proclamation. We have a lot of when God's coming versus what are we supposed to do? What is our part in playing for God to come? Could it be that we are spending a lot of precious time in speculating the timing of God's return that we are neglecting our responsibility in sharing the good news, declaring who God is, declaring who the kingdom is, declaring what Jesus, when he came, he spent more time talking about the kingdom than anything else. These distractions sometimes yesterday in the women's meeting that we went to, one of the areas was that I really was blessed in is all the distractions that we don't count as distractions that has us off kilter on what our responsibility is. And distractions is a wonderful thing because the enemy knows that our flesh doesn't like to do the work of it. So he knows that if he distracts us, then we'll be all over here instead of where we're supposed to be. In Matthew 24 and 36, it says, but that exact day and hour, no one knows. Even though we're speculating, okay? The Bible, Jesus let us know this. Even though there's these signs, he says, he still lets us know, don't get up all hung up on this, okay? Why? Because that exact day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Don't get all hung up on trying to pinpoint it. You know, sometimes, you know, have you ever, sometimes I say, God, why do we try to pinpoint? But then he reminded me when I was younger and I used to babysit my brothers and sisters while my dad and mom was at work. Well, why I would pinpoint what time was they going to be home was that I would pinpoint it so I knew that I had like 30 minutes to get everything in order. Okay, so I pinpointed, Mom and Dad is going to be here at 4 o'clock. I do everything I want, and then at 3:30, I was trying to run around the house, get everything together, but I would always say, Daddy, what time y'all coming home? Mom, anywhere they would go someplace, I'd be, what time are y'all coming back? When are you going to be home? And what I pinpointed it so that when they got home, I could do whatever I wanted, but when they got home, I'd have it in order because I knew and pinpointed the time. But my mother and father, you know, they knew that little trick. And there was some times, you know, that they would show up. And they would show up early. And they'd come in there and we'd be running around the house. We'd done everything, tore up the whole house. And there was a car come up in the driveway. And I look out there and it was Daddy driving on the driveway. And I freak out now. And I'm trying to throw everything in the closet under the bed, trying to get everything done because I didn't count on him being when he came. I needed to know the exact. And sometimes we as Christians, we want to know why, because we ain't doing what we're supposed to do. And we know we haven't achieved those things that God has told us to achieve. And Lord, when are you coming? When are you coming? Because I got to get it right with the, I got to get it right with that person, Lord. I need to ask forgiveness for that, oh God. God, you told me to write a book, oh God. When are you coming, God? We want to know so we can pinpoint, so we can hurry up. And sometimes when it gives us that little oomph when we know the time. But God wants us to know that we should be preparing all the time to be ready. When God comes, we should be ready at all times to be ready for him. He says, but that exact day, no one knows. So what God is saying, church, do what you're supposed to be doing. You know, do what I've called you to do. Do what I've told you to do. I've told you to go spread the word. I've told you to tell people about me. Don't wait up to the last minute to tell your next door neighbor and you've been living there for 14 years. Come on. Do what you're supposed to do now. It says we need to be amping up our diligence to fulfilling the real sign that will usher in Christ's return. Everywhere I go, I've got to tell it. Everywhere I am, I've got to live it. That's what we should be amping up, our living out loud for Christ. We know the Great Commission. It says in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go then and make disciples of all the nations. Now, he's not just talking to the evangelist, and he's not just talking to the missionary. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be. In the Message Bible, it says this, go out and train everyone you meet. Now, I just want us, because the way we go is the way that we see what God is saying, okay? But he said, go out and say hi to everyone you meet. Go out and train. I want us to understand that for the church to realize there is work to do. There is work to do. That God is trying to provoke the church to the work that is called to do. We want a cushy life. We want a comfortable life. We're all into this world way of thinking life. But God is saying, go out and train. Training takes work. It takes intentionality of doing something. It says, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near. Train them in this way of life. And marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. go and instruct them preachers, only the preacher, only the pastor. No. Go train them fathers and mothers. Go train them employers and employees. Go train them on whatever appointment and assignment, wherever God has placed you. God said there's some training. You're the biggest trainer on that job. You don't realize it, but you have the biggest assignment wherever God has placed you. You have the biggest assignment on that job. It's to train them, to teach them, to show them, to tell them about the kingdom of God. Truly living out our kingdom mission as God's kingdom representatives intentionally, purposefully, how much kingdom advancement could really be achieved if we lived on mission? How much advancement could really be achieved if we lived on mission, on the Great Commission to go out and make disciples? The kingdom mission is this, and I want you guys a simple sentence God gave me. The kingdom mission is to represent the kingdom of God at all times and everywhere. There we go. To represent the kingdom of God at all times and everywhere. At all times and everywhere. I love it because sometimes until I get a call to Africa or someplace, then I feel like God said, we're on the mission when I walk in the doors of my house. When I walk in the doors of a store, Walmart. Come on. I'm on mission at all times and everywhere. On mission all times, everywhere, representing the kingdom of God at all times. And you know, our first mission is our home. And God showed me that. Our first mission is our home. That's where we let our hair down. That's where I don't feel like I have to represent. I can just be me, have my funky attitude. But God said that's my first mission, because you can't fake the funk. If you're not doing it at home, it's going to show up out there, all right? So God said, do it at home. Are you ready to be a representative of Jesus Christ as a wife? Are you ready to be a representative of Jesus Christ as a husband? Are you representing Jesus Christ as a teenager? Are you representing Jesus on your job? Are you saying, I am representing Jesus Christ? I'm on mission at all times and everywhere. Representation is that I'm representing not just in word, because we're pretty good talkers, but also in deeds. And we're representing clearly, consistently, and without compromise. Clearly. The only way I can represent clearly is to get an understanding of the kingdom of God clearly. I've got to get an understanding of the word clearly so I can represent clearly. And so that's why I got to be in the word of God and know what the kingdom, the constitution of the kingdom is the word of God. And most of us don't really know the constitution of the United States. But we need to know the constitution of the word and what God's laws and his precepts are so that we can represent them clearly. If I don't know what it is, then I'm misrepresenting God. And so God says we need to know. Representation takes pause. It means that I just don't do anything when I'm rash or I'm upset or just. But representation means I pause. How many think about, am I representing the kingdom when I'm upset? Am I representing the kingdom of God, how I am going to respond? Or I'm so upset and I'm so out of control, which we know that one of the fruits of the Spirit in the kingdom is self-control. But when we don't have it, we misrepresent the kingdom and we act rashly and we do things rashly and we say things rashly and we don't represent the kingdom. But real representation of the kingdom, it takes pause. Yes, I'm upset. Yes, this has made me angry. But according to the constitution of the kingdom of God, how is it that I should respond? Now, one of the things about pause is, as people, it feels kind of silly, right? I'm mad and I'm upset and I go, hold up, but I am mad. I acknowledge that. But according to the constitution of the Bible, that feels really silly. But it looks even sillier when we just respond out of our anger and we misrepresent the kingdom of God and we get mad and we lash out and we fight and we say things that we shouldn't say just because we did not take the pause. The pause means that it is so important to me that I don't misrepresent the kingdom that I'm going to take a moment right here and I'm going to pause. And I'm going to give thought to what I'm doing. And I'm going to pray and ask God, how do you want me to do it? How do you want me to respond? We've got to get over that rash way of doing things and misrepresenting God. So people know God by our actions. And sometimes our actions, they don't represent God. And so people are looking. And the funniest thing is strange to them. And another thing God showed this morning, that the world is going, I'm so confused. That the world is looking at the church and they're going, I'm so confused. Because even in their, what we would think is limited knowledge of God, they got enough knowledge that don't add up. And they're like, I'm so confused. And then God says, and you remember my word says, when the world is confused by our actions, we need to take note because God said, I'm not the author of confusion. That is not me. I'm not the author of confusion. That I am clear in what is right and what is wrong. I am clear. And when confusion's around, the church should be like, wait a minute, we are misrepresenting God. We look at the world sometimes and we say, oh, the world is crazy. They are so confused. But there should be a standard that they can look at that could knock away the confusion. But when the church is straddled the fence, and we're not fully persuaded in our own mind what is right and what is wrong, then we don't present clarity to the world. And the world is confused because we're confused. Double-minded, unstable in all of our ways. Do you know that sometimes we look at that, that's what he's talking about the world when he said double-minded. But double-minded is he was talking to the church. Right. He was telling us, don't be double-minded, not the world, don't be double-minded, church, because you're unstable in all of your ways, and it causes confusion. The kingdom is in the world because the world has a kingdom of darkness, and God brought us into the kingdom so that we could bring in the light. And the light should be clear that when you turn it on, it's clear, it's bright of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. The kingdom mission, you guys, isn't somewhere out there or over there as much as it is right here. Right here, right now. Wherever I am, wherever you are, wherever the church is, that's where the kingdom should be. Demonstrating and manifesting God's will in the earth. Wherever we are, that's where the kingdom is. Now think about this. What job, what community, what family, or what church does that encompass in your present here I am location? Think about it over your life, just your life, your job, okay? Your community, your family, your church. That's your location of here I am. Here is the church. Every time you walk into these places, here I am. The church is here. The church, every time we walk in, wherever we're at, the church has just stepped in. And it should be clear, a clear representation of God's kingdom. And as I'm saying that, it's a call to what God is calling us to, because there's some areas that we need more wisdom, more strength, and more power. But there's areas that we have strength and power, but we're just not showing up. We're just not showing up. We have the knowledge. We have the wisdom. We're just not showing up. And God wants the church to represent, to show up. When you, wherever you're at, you're showing up. We are saved not just to receive the salvation of God, but to truly embrace the fullness of the salvation of God and to share the kingdom of God. In the Bible, it talks about the labors. And one of the things, let's go to Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says to them, the harvest is indeed plentiful. The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into his harvest. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and to thrust laborers into his harvest. In the Message, it says, what a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. The problem is not with the harvest. Although it's so much easier to say what we don't have than to use what we do. A lot of times we're like, oh, the world, nobody wants to hear about Jesus. Oh, the world is so hard. Oh, the world. But that's not what Jesus said. The harvest, he said, and we need to get it right in our head. That's why we mess up, because we start saying these things out of our mouths that we start. It justifies us not working, okay? So, oh, the harvest is so hard. Oh, people don't want to know about God. Oh, look at this world's going to hell in a handbasket. We say all those kind of things, but Jesus said, wait a minute, wait. He said, look, the harvest is plentiful. He said, I just need you to look, the harvest is plentiful. Now, God told me one thing, and he said, and I'm doing my part. Some of the very things that we count as, terrible travesties and tragedies, and some of the things that God is allowing them to happen to put a squeeze on man, to make man see you are in need of a Savior, you are in need of a Lord. And so a lot of things that we see, the price is going up, or what do they do? It causes people to you know, need the Lord. It causes people to wonder, where's my help coming from? So they got all these questions, and they got all this kind of fear of the future. And God says, so I'm doing my work. I'm causing the heart to want me, but where are my workers? Where are the ones that will harvest the plentiful harvest? Where are the laborers? Well, the laborers are just sitting down waiting for God to pull in the people, to draw the people, to bring the people, to tell the people about God, to invite the people to church. The laborers are just waiting for them to come in. And God says, the harvest is ready for the laborer. It's ripe. You don't have to do anything else. It's been watered. The harvest has been watered with a deep of hunger for something better, for something greater. The harvest is just waiting. It's just waiting. And where it says kingdom citizens represent, It's time to represent. It's time to realize that we're not just in this world just to make our name great. The problem is that the church is trying to make a great name for itself, not a great name for God. We want to prove that God is on our side by having the big house, the big car, and the money in the bank. That's our proof. And we're trying to prove it to who? We're trying to prove it to a world that has bigger cars, bigger houses, and more bucks than you could ever think of, and still crying out, there's something missing in my life. They want what we have, and we want what they have. And none of us are getting anything, because the real thing is to get the Lord, get the kingdom mindset, and to remind them that this place is not our home. This is not our final destination, and that God has gone to prepare a better place. And that's what we're here to do, is to let them know of the better place. God is saying the problem lies with us, his church. In Isaiah 6 and 7 through 8, Jeremiah says something, and this scripture, the Lord says, and he's saying what God did, and he says, and with it, he makes an excuse. And one of the things that I find that we're not mission-minded, because we have so many excuses. And so Jeremiah had made an excuse about his mouth. And the Lord says, and with it, he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity and guilt are taken away, and your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. God wants us to know that the enemy will come and try to make us feel that we are not qualified, justified to do the work of the Lord. That we will always, and God has told me, we will always see something in us that is not perfected. God wants you to know that this morning. You will always see something in you that's not perfected. But the perfect God, who is daily perfecting us, he wants you to know, look, what he told him was, look, the enemy's always going to point out to you something that you don't talk right, you don't act right, you not all together there. But then he says, I need to remind you that your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven. God said, I need you to stand in that. On your worst day, when the enemy says, you can't go for me, you can't say for me, you can't talk for me, I need you to remind yourself that your sins are completely atoned for. It's been paid for, and you've been forgiven. He says, I need you to understand this, that your iniquity and your guilt are taken away. So when the enemy's trying to make you feel guilty, and remind you of your, he says, I need to remind you so you'll go do my work. So you won't use this as any excuse anymore. Stop using this as an excuse. Your iniquity and your guilt are taken. But God, I know what you said, but today, just today, I told my husband off. Just today. And God says, I need to remind you that just today your sins are forgiven. Just right now your guilt is. I need to remind you that you have every right through the blood of Jesus Christ to represent the kingdom of God. I need to remind you that you are forgiven. And I need to remind you that you can walk with your head up in me and do what I've called you to do, because I have forgiven you. I have taken your guilt away. Don't use that. Don't let the enemy use that as an excuse for us not to do what God has called us to do. One of our other things that God showed me about us not being ready as laborers is that sometimes we don't have love for what God loves. Now, sometimes, let me tell you the biggest thing. Sometimes we think we don't have love for his precepts and laws, but God says our greatest thing that we don't have love for is people. People is our, he's sending you to people. And if you don't love people, how can you go to people? And God said that's where the enemy will steal our mission, is that we don't love people. And there's in the Bible a story of Jonah. Jonah, God sends him on a mission. He sends him on a mission. And Jonah, he was so mad because he didn't want these people to get the grace of God in their lives. And sometimes we look at people and we think that they don't deserve the grace of God. Look at how they act. Look at how they talk. Look at what they're doing. And we don't want to go tell them. They deserve the love. And we know what God here. He knew that God was not going to destroy Nineveh. He felt like Nineveh needed to be destroyed. Grace. He felt like Nineveh needed to be destroyed. And that's how we are sometimes. Grace. She don't need no grace. I'm not going to tell her nothing. She don't need. Because don't love people. And God said, because we don't love people, we can't be mission-minded, because the mission's all about people. And we are going to have to ask God, God, give me a love for people. Give me a love that looks beyond the faults and sees the need. God, remind me of how icky I am at times. Remind me of how much I mess up. Remind me, God, of your love that keeps coming toward me. And how can I forget that and not extend that love to others? God said that's what will stop us from being mission-minded, is that lack of love for people. We have heart issues. Oh, God says heart issues, and we have the wrong allegiance. Jesus said when he came, I must be about my Father's business. God said even when his mom asked him to do a natural thing, he did the natural thing, but he needed her to know this is not the higher purpose. This is not the real purpose. And you guys, don't get it twisted. Sometimes we get it twisted. I'm the president. I'm the CEO. I'm the counselor. I'm that. Don't get it twisted. That's not your highest purpose. Your highest purpose is to be about your Father's business. I need you to get it correct. The CEO, the coach, the doctor, the lawyer, whatever. That's your assignment. That's not your purpose. That's your assignment. That's not your purpose. I need you to say that over and over in your mind. God said he needs to get that in our heart, because we get mixed up in our assignment, and our assignment becomes us. And we do everything about our assignment and for our assignment. Our assignment is first and foremost. No, your assignment is where you carry out your purpose. And your purpose should be first and foremost. I'm not a counselor first and foremost for the world. I'm a counselor first and foremost for God. I'm not a coach first and foremost for the school. I'm a coach first and foremost for God. God, what is my assignment for the kingdom as I'm coaching? God, what is my assignment as a doctor? What is my assignment? I'm here as a doctor. Yes, I'm here, and I've learned, and I have education, but my purpose is to be on board, to be the kingdom in the hospital, to be the kingdom when all hope is gone, when everyone's hopeless, to remind myself, wait a minute, I got a king that's higher than doctorship, and I can call on the name of Jesus. I can intercede on the behalf of others. You guys understand? God is saying, don't let your assignment become your identity. Some of us would rather be a doctor than a Christian. Or a lawyer than a Christian. Our coach, our mom, our dad, our identity gets caught up in these things. But we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we don't need to grapple after significance. We're already significant. Sometimes we're just doing everything. We'll sell our souls for world significance when we're already significant. As daughters and sons of the Most High God, we are already significant. When we get on our jobs and stuff, I don't have to prove and fight and fend for my place or my position. God says some of us as Christians, we are misrepresenting God. On our jobs, we get an attitude and we get nasty and we get funky and you're not going to do me like that because do you know who I am? And do that. God said, promotion don't come from them. Promotion comes from the Lord. We doing so much stuff for man to, you going to see me. You going to know me. You ain't going to walk over me. We are misrepresenting the Lord. Jesus, in all of his power, the most powerful thing about Jesus to me is that he could have, but he didn't. All right. At any time, he could say, die. Be mute. At any time, he could have commanded something on man, and it would be right there at that time. At any time when they was thrusting him in his side, any time he gave him the glimpse of the power when they called and all of them had to fall back, he gave him a glimpse of who he really was. They just, man is so arrogant, he didn't even catch it. But the thing is it's not you asserting your authority. It's you standing in your kingdom control. And said, the Lord will fight this battle. That's right. That's right. And it may, you know, the song that says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like, it looked like Jesus was surrounded. It looked like Jesus was going down. It looked like it was over. But it wasn't over. Victory was being won. And we need to represent that we have a God that we're not so anxious and we're not so touchy and we're not so fretty and we're not so prideful. That we don't let God fight our battles. And that we don't stand in the authority and in the grace. There's such a grace about people who can let somebody talk about them and let somebody act ugly to it. And there's such a grace that the peace of God just rests upon them. Just rest upon him. And somebody else might think you're punking out, but I guarantee you, you know that the king, when Jesus stood before the king and they was all crucifying, he looked at him and he said, I can't see nothing wrong with this man. He knew there was something about Jesus. He could see it all on Jesus. Can people see you, Jesus all on you? Jesus said, the works that I do not of myself. This is how we represent God. The works that I do not of myself. The things that I say not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the work. He does the work. He does the work. You don't really want to see Linda. He does the work. I'll mess it up every time. But God's grace, his self-control, his spirit upon us is what the world needs to see. Citizens of God represent. God wants us to be not just truth seekers and not just truth speakers, but truth followers and truth representatives. The world is confused because we have the first two. We have people that are seeking truth only till it comes up to the point that it messes up where they're at. They want truth about something they want to do. But what they don't want to do, they don't want truth about that. We have a lot of truth speakers. Talk a big yang yang, talk good. But God says there's where the confusion is in the world because it's not followed up with a representation of what is being said. The world is looking for a representation of what is being said. And that representation comes from our everyday, every moment, everywhere, walking out kingdom life. Every day, every moment, everywhere, walking out kingdom life. We are going to have to stop giving ourselves excuses. This is just me. My mama was like that. My daddy was like that. We just get angry really, really fast. We are going to have to stop giving ourselves excuses. Because I can tell you this, and I believe in the grace of God, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God. But there is a day where we are going to have to walk into the victory of God. There's the grace of God that is over us when we do the things that does not line up with the word of God. But when we keep on making excuse for it, keep on making excuse for it, keep on making where God want us, then we make the blood of Jesus in vain. The blood of Jesus didn't give us grace so that we could keep on sinning. Can I say it again? The blood of Jesus didn't give us grace so we can keep on sinning. The blood of Jesus gave us grace that gives us the ability to come from sinning. And as long as we keep thinking about grace as that area where I can keep on doing this because I got grace. I can keep on saying this because I got grace. I can keep going there because I got grace. I can keep on committing adultery because I got grace. God is a loving God. God is a loving God. God is a loving God, and that is truth. But he loves you too much to allow that thing. It talks about sin when sin becomes full grown. See, some of us haven't felt the full grownness yet. So we feel okay because we're sinning and it's not biting us in the butt. But God is saying it hasn't become full grown yet. When it becomes full grown and it captures you and imprisons you, and you want out, and mama's praying for you, daddy's praying for you, the church is praying for you, and you're still there because only God can get you out because you are in prison now. Because sin has become full grown. It's like that little baby that you're grinning at right now, that little tantrum. Oh, I don't know why he does that. I don't know why he does. Oh, baby, stop. And you just tantrum every time. I had one that have, well, she's sitting in here. Well, I had one that when I would take her in the store and I had to call her dad because she would fall out when she wanted something. And she just crying. David calls me, and she just crying. I just couldn't whoop her. Y'all look at precious Monica. And I just could not do nothing. First of all, I was embarrassed that she was, doing that. And second of all, I was like, all these people, and I am getting a little angry. And so I call him, and he's here, and he goes, "You do something right now." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "No, you do something." Because he knew what I was going to do. I was going to tell daddy on Monica. And so when I got home, I was going to tell about the adventure. But he was like, "No, you do something right now. If you don't get her now, it is just going to get worse later." He said, "You do something." Oh, poor mama had to pick up. I don't know who was crying more, me or Monica. Crying. But I didn't have that problem. Because she knew in the store, mama's going to whoop you. You're not going to. And God, sometimes we think, because God hasn't, what he said, he hasn't given that judgment. We think, okay, I got away with it. But the thing is God is not letting you get away with it. Sin is not letting you get away with it. Sin will get full grown and it will mess you up. And God wants you to know that we need to represent. You guys, we can't keep walking around and acting like God, telling the world that God died for our sins, but yet we get to keep on sinning. It don't work like that. The world is like, I'm so confused. And God said, and I'm not the author of confusion. God said, the power of the blood. You guys, let's start talking about that. The power of the blood sets me free from sin. And I don't care if I stole the cookie out the cookie jar today. I don't keep saying that. That's just what I do, steal the cookie out. I say, wait a minute. The blood of Jesus helped me not to steal no more cookies. And if I steal it for 5 days, I'm going to still say, the blood of Jesus. I'm not accepting that. I'm not condoning that. I'm not justifying it because the blood of Jesus came to enable me with a grace to stop sinning. Kingdom of God, kingdom citizens, we must be, as we stand, mission-minded. Are we on mission? Are we on mission? Mission in what we say? Oh, you guys, come on, mission in what we say, mission in what we hear. There's things that's going in our ear. There's gossip. There's put down. There's things that we should not, we should be mission-minded. That is not what God wants me to hear. We should be mission-minded about what we say. That's not what God wants me to say. You guys, let's talk to ourselves and say, am I on mission? Mission-minded. I'm representing God in everything that I say and everything that I do. The next time that I talk, it will be about ambassadors, because we are called these beautiful, wonderful, authoritative names in the Word of God. But we really got to know what that means. We really have to know what that means. And when we know what something means, we can better represent what God is telling us, who we are. Because a lot of us, all of us, are living beneath our privilege in the Lord. Our privilege is one of power and authority and victory. And we can accept defeat, or we can say, not so. I'm mission-minded. I'm going to live in the victory that God promised. You guys, victory is not just for up there.
Shine through the shadows.
Victory is here. Up there, nobody has to see your victory in heaven. Nobody's walking around heaven trying to see victory. It's on earth that they need to see the victory of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They need to see what that means. They need to see what that gives to our life. So we got to get mission-minded.
Shine through the
representing
shadows,
God. Where?
Burn like
everywhere. When? At all times. Representing God everywhere. At all times. When I'm mad. When I'm upset. When I'm lonely. When I'm scared. When I don't have any money. When I'm sick. When he's getting on my nerves. When all times. When they're cutting me off in the traffic. Representing God at all times. Everywhere. I'm a kingdom representative. Can you imagine if there was more cars going down the street and at different intersections, you saw people like, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You saw people praying and sending people like, you see people like, in the name of Jesus. Lord, can you imagine if there was just representation in the earth, in the lines at the store, instead of come on, Lord bless in the name of Jesus. Could you imagine if the kingdom showed up everywhere at all times? Could you imagine our little babies and our little kids in our homes if the kingdom just showed up? Instead of hearing us fuss and cuss and get mad, they heard us grab each other's hands and get on our knees, and they saw mama and daddies on their knees praying. Could you imagine if the kingdom just showed up everywhere?
Your name
and
is
all
healing.
Times, the advancing of the kingdom. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. Father, you've given us a mission. Your mission. Show up. Show up in us. Show up through us, God. God, we don't want to bring confusion, but clarity in our walk, in our talk, in our attitude, in our responses. God, let us point people to you. Father, take away the excuses. Take away the justifications. Oh, God, we just sung, I just want to move your heart. God, right here, right here, right here is Hallelujah. Where we want to move your heart.
Yes.
In total obedience to your word. Oh, God, let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, God. To you, God, to you, God. Give us the grace to pause. Give us the grace to wait on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and empower. Oh, Father, we thank you right now for another day, another time to get together, God, to get your word, God. We thank you for your word. Oh, Father, right now for any of us that have areas that we can visibly and mentally, no, right there, God, right there, Hallelujah. God. Help me right there. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we cry out to you.
Hallelujah.
Help. Help, Lord.
Help,
help God. Help. Oh, help, God, like only you can. We surrender, God. We surrender that area to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If there's anybody here this morning that